بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to a program over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic under discussion today is interest and issues pertaining to interest. The different types of interests and the laws pertaining to those different types of interest. In our previous discourses, we have discussed some issues of interest. In the pre-Islamic era, interest was common. Everybody was practicing on interest. And when the prohibition of interest came down, the Sahaba, the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were well aware of the practice of interest and the prohibition of interest. They were able to immediately practice on the prohibition of interest. It was similar to wine and alcohol. It was very, very common. When the prohibition came down, they immediately practiced on the prohibition and abstained from wine and alcohol. Likewise, when interest was prohibited, and the type of interest that was practiced at that time, the Sahaba were fully aware of it, and they abstained from engaging in interest-bearing transactions. Interest became prohibited in the 8th year after Hijrah. And there are direct 8 verses in the Quran Kareem, spread out in 4 different chapters of the Quran Kareem on the prohibition of interest. In today's discourse, I want to refer to those ayats of the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the prohibition of interest. But before discussing that, I wish to highlight one point. There are 3 principles in Sharia which we must be very, very careful about and very alert about. One is istihlal. If something is expressly prohibited in the Quran Kareem, or it is expressly prohibited in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is narrated through a hadith that comes through tawatur, an absolutely authentic chain of narrators, the prohibition that comes through that source is of a very high degree. We have to accept it, that it is a prohibition. Now, if somebody has to regard such a prohibited act to be halal, that's a serious offense, a serious crime in the Shariat, and a person who makes something that is expressly prohibited in the Quran or hadith that comes through an authentic narration to hadith and tawatur, that person risks losing his iman.
And in the context of interest, it is expressly prohibited in the Quran-e Kareem. One should never justify the engagement of interest and regard it to be halal. If somebody is doing something wrong, acknowledge I'm doing it wrong. That's not the way I'm supposed to be doing it. But just to justify your act, don't say that it is halal or under the circumstances I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Say I'm wrong, make tawbah, make istighfar, make an effort to change and reform yourself. But don't justify a haram act and try to make it halal. And in doing so, a person risks his iman. If a person is married, it affects the validity of his nikah. And before having made tawbah, if a person has children, if he did not renew his iman, the children born out of such a wedlock will be illegitimate. This is a serious offense of something that is completely haram and you regard it to be halal in Shariat. A second offense, which is called istihza, making a mockery of the laws of the Shariat. Something that is expressly mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith. And you make a mockery out of it. In that also, a person risks his iman. And the third is called istighfaf. Shariat has prohibited doing something. Or Shariat orders you to do something and you look down upon the ruling with contempt. You disregard it. In that attitude also, a person risks losing his iman. As far as interest is concerned, there are clear verses in the Quran Kareem prohibiting interest. Let us look at some of the verses. In Suratul Baqarah, verse 275. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَعْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. Those people that consume interest, on the day of Qiyamah, they'll stand up as though they were attacked by the shaitan as a mad person. That is, he'll be punished according to crime that he has committed in the world. When a person in the world is engaged in interest-bearing transaction, greed gets the better of him. He can't even think. Nobody can reason with him. It is as though he's a mad person. And the punishment of that would be when he wakes up from his qabr, he'll wake up as though he's a mad person. And the reason Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says that that person lost his sanity. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has made interest haram. He says no, interest is just like a normal transaction. Changes everything around. And then further Allah says, فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَا فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. That when the advice of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has come down on the prohibition of interest, the person should stay away from it. Yes, whatever he has done in the past, he has done in the past, but in the future, he should never engage in interest-bearing transactions. Look at this verse, expressly prohibiting interest. And there's no way that a person can ever justify the practice of interest. In verse 276, Suratul Baqarah, Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has deleted interest. There can't be any barakah, there can't be any blessing in engaging in interest-bearing transactions. Yes, Allah increases sadaqat. Outward and apparently, when a person gives sadaqah, his money decreases. But the ghaibi nizam of Allah is such that Allah put barakat in everything of it and it increases. In verse 278, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَىٰ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah appeals to our sense of iman, that if you really got iman, then fear Allah and stay away from whatever remains of interest. Observe the verses, clear express verses on the prohibition of interest. And a fourth verse, it is such a verse, that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that if there's any verse in the Quran Kareem that is the most serious verse in punishment, it is this verse. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. But if a person is engaging in interest-bearing transactions, if he does not desist, does not stay away from interest-bearing transactions, then announce for him a war from the side of Allah and His Rasul. Can one imagine entering into a war, engaging in war with Allah and the Rasul? How can such a person ever win? It's impossible, and that's a serious crime. Some verses from Surah Ali Imran, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا الرِّبَا أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا. That all you who believe, don't consume interest in a compound form, where a person doesn't meet his deadline, he goes back to a bank and he tells the bank, I'm unable to meet the deadline. Let's enter into a new discussion, a new arrangement. And then extended time is given and that there increase another increment of, of interest. And when he can't meet that deadline, again there's an increase and again there's an increment of interest. And it carries on and on and on. That is compound interest, which is haram. And the person goes more deeper into the hole, into a narrow hole. Another verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah says, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah refers to the Yahud. Interest was also prohibited for them as well. And because they would not stay away from interest-bearing transactions, Allah says, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ. Because they were engaged in interest-bearing transactions and doing all haram things, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala derived them of good wholesome things. And that is the natural consequence of engaging in interest-bearing transactions. We think that you are removing yourself from one problem. You are in the debt. You go to a bank manager and immediately approved of a loan for yourself. You feel relieved. That's a short time relief, long time problem. And in another verse, Allah says in the Quran Kareem in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبًا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. If a person has to take interest-bearing transactions from people, it may increase in the sight of people, but in the sight of Allah, it never increases. Look at this. In four different places of the Quran Kareem and so many ayat, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala clearly prohibits interest and interest-bearing transactions. Let us look at some ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. Stay away from seven things that are destructive, harmful, detrimental to a person. And among the seven things that he mentioned, one is aklur riba. Eating riba and engaging in interest-bearing transactions. Another hadith narrated from Samurai ibn Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I'll give a summarized version of that hadith. It was a noble habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every morning after the Fajr Salah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would inquire from the Sahaba if anybody has seen a dream. If anybody would see the dream, they would present it to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would interpret it. And if a person would not see a dream, and if Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen a dream, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would relate to the Sahaba, and he would tell them what is the reality of the dream. On one morning, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to a Sahaba, I have seen a dream. Two persons came to me. It's a lengthy hadith. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that they showed him four horrific sights. And one of the sights was that there was one person that was standing at the edge of a river. The river was full with blood. And in the center of a river, there was one person that was swimming in the blood. He was very, very uncomfortable, making every possible effort to come out from the river of blood. He comes right to the edge, and the person that was at the edge, he would take stones and put it back into his mouth and send that person back into the blood, in the river of blood. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked these two persons, they were angels, Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam, Mahara, what is this? So after showing all the sights, then Jibreel alayhi salam told Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this person here, who is in the center of the blood, of the river, in the river of blood, is that person that engaging in interest-bearing transactions. Such a serious offense. And that is the azab, that is the punishment that will be given to him. In one hadith, is narrated in Muslim Sharif, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala says, La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aakila riba. Wa mukilahu wa katibahu wa shahidayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed a person that consumes interest, gives interest, the person that writes down the interest-bearing transaction, and the person that witnesses an interest-bearing transaction. Anything that got to do with riba is completely haram. In another narration, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala narrates, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, الدرهم يصيب الرجل من الربا أعظم عند الله من 33 زنيا يزنيها في الإسلام. If a person has to engage in even one dirham of interest-bearing transaction, the sin of that is like the person committing zina 33 times. And in one narration, it's like, na'udhu billah, a person committing zina with one's own mother. That is the extent of the prohibition of interest in Islam. And in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, four people, they will not enter into Jannah, and among the four people are akilu riba. Person that engages in interest-bearing transactions. Now, from all these ayats, from all these ahadiths, we understand that there is no room whatsoever to engage in interest-bearing transactions. Sometimes, in our transactions, in our dealings, we engage with non-Muslims. And there's so much of awareness in the world about Muslims, that interest is haram, interest is prohibited, Muslims don't deal in interest-bearing transactions, and non-Muslims tend to inquire from us, then why is interest prohibited? And what is the rationale behind it? The simple answer to it is that interest is not only haram and prohibited for Muslims, that is the same prohibition that was in the Injil and in the Torah. And for that purpose, I have collected few verses here from the Torah and the Injil to share with you, to show that the prohibition of interest is not only in the Quran and not in the Hadith. It is a prohibition that Allah Ta'ala has given to the Yahud and the Nasara as well. And when discussing with them, to make them understand, sometimes they think that the commercial law of Islam are too strict. But it's not an issue of it being strict, it is also the immoral aspect of it, which Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala prohibited in all the religions. Besides, the principle of quoting ayats that are from the Torah and the Injil is, لَا تُصَدِّقُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ وَلَا تُكَذِّبُوهُمْ. If anything is mentioned from the Torah and the Injil, we won't accept it, we won't reject it. However, if there are such ayats in the Torah and that are in conformity or very much similar in terms of understanding of the ayats of the Quran al-Kareem, then we would accept it because that is something that is mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem as well. Now some verses that come in the Torah or in the Injil, it is stated in Leviticus, verse 25-35. I'll read the exact verse that comes there. If your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner, and he shall live with you. Take no interest from him or profit, but fear your God, that your brother may live beside you. Clearly in the Torah. Prohibition of interest. In another verse, Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Showing the prohibition of interest and the negative consequences of interest. Again, in Proverbs 28:3, a poor man who oppresses the poor is a beating rain that leaves no food. And that example that happens in interest, that the person feels he's got a big loan from the bank, but at the end result of it is he's going to be without anything. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Two things at the same time. And this is said in the context of the prohibition of interest. Again, in Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And like that, there's so many other verses we can quote about the prohibition of interest from the Torah, from the Injil, from the Old Testament, and from the New Testament. I also want to share with you some sayings of wise people regarding interest and what is the harmful effects of interest in the economy. One alim, in discussing the prohibition of interest, he just said two words. Interest is carrying poison. And really, it is a poison. Another alim says, the interest is, or a person that engaged in interest-bearing transaction, is a selfish and a self-centered person. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, that a person is married, intoxicated in the love of this world. He can't even think. He's selfish and self-centered. He only wants to take from the people. He's not worried about giving to the people. Another alim, wise person mentioned, taking interest is taking advantage of somebody's desperation. A poor person is desperate. He's got nothing. He's asking for help and assistance. And instead of giving him help and assistance, you asking him, how much will you give me in return? You're taking advantage of a person's desperation. There's no love, there's no compassion, there's no consideration for the next person. It's as though there's no humanity left in dealing in interest-bearing transaction, and you're regarding a human being more than an animal. As though there's no value in his life. Another alim has mentioned, he gave the advice, close the doors of interest to close the doors of misery in this world. And how much of misery has interest brought to everybody? Look at the economy. Everyone, worldwide, everyone, people are complaining. It's all because of interest-bearing transactions. And another wise person has mentioned, interest is blackmailing the economy. Interest is blackmailing the economy. And one German writer, he very wisely mentioned, the reason for economic chaos in the world is interest. The reason for economic chaos in the world is interest. And it proved that the entire world is cheating on each other. Everyone, all the banks, you'll see they're dealing with each other. And they're taking interest from each other. It is nothing else but cheating from each other. These are some of the statements, wise statements of people, just for us to understand and entrench in our hearts and our mind on the prohibition of interest. And this is something we need to internalize. Otherwise, if we don't know the extent of the prohibition of interest, sometimes because of need, necessity, desperation, you may just be driven to go and take out an interest-bearing transaction, not realizing that you're causing more harm and more danger to your own self. Now, before we proceed on the discourse and other topics relating to this, there's two types of riba, two types of interest. One is a type of interest that is referred to in the Quran al-Kareem. This is called riba an-nasi'ah. The type of interest that is referred to in the Quran al-Kareem, all the verses I mentioned to you all, is when a person takes a loan from someone and you have to pay interest on a loan. So all the verses in the Quran al-Kareem is about interest referring to loans. And then you get another type of interest. That is not interest on loans, but interest on transactions. And the interest, or that kind of interest is referred to in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is called riba al-fadl. Now very quickly, I will refer to that one hadith and then explain the rationale and we'll proceed with that next week. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned the hadith is narrated by Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-dhahabu bil-dhahab, والفضة بالفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء يدا بيد فإذا اختلفت هذه الأصناف بيعوا كيف شئتم إذا كان يدا بيد أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عبادة بن صامت رضي الله تعالى عنه سيد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said when you are dealing gold in exchange of gold, silver in exchange of silver, wheat in exchange of wheat, barley in exchange of barley, dates in exchange of dates, salt in exchange of salt. This should be done with complete equality and on a cash transaction. And when these items have to change, in other words, not gold for gold, but gold for silver, or not wheat for wheat, but wheat for barley, when there's two things of different types, if they have to exchange, then you can sell it as you want to, on condition it's a cash transaction. All I want to refer to in today's discussion on this, that see, in this hadith, we are speaking about a different type of interest, and that is interest on transactions. So one is the type of interest that's in the Quran, that is interest on loans, that is haram, and then you get interest on transactions, and which is mentioned in the hadith. Now, in Shariat, every form of interest is made haram. One is interest on loans. You're taking money from someone, and then you have to pay more than that. But at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these items that have been mentioned here, gold, silver, barley, wheat, salt, dates, etc., they were also forms of currencies. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to close the door of interest completely. And therefore, just as interest on loan is prohibited, interest dealing in all these things has also been prohibited. And from this, the fuqaha, from this hadith, they have pondered upon it, they reflected upon it, and they tried to identify that what is the actual cause, what is the reason for the prohibition of interest. Inshallah, we'll continue with this discussion next week, and we'll also discuss on the different type of currencies, transacting money with money, whether it is local, whether it is foreign, and from there we'll proceed to the discussion of Bitcoin and what the Sharia concept of Bitcoin in Sharia, inshallah. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayah to understand the various laws of Shariat on finance, economics, and the prohibition of interest as well, and we stay away from it. Many people want to start a business. On one side, our people give a lot of sadaqah and charity, but at the same time, they're engaging in interest-bearing transactions. Now, giving sadaqah and charity is nafil, and engaging in interest-bearing transactions is haram. It does make no sense for a person where on one side you're doing some nafil, but at the same time doing haram. Stay away from that nafil, but try to stay away from that haram first. If you're doing both, that's well, that's fine, that's understandable. However, Shariat gives priority. What is important in Shariat, we should be doing that. Another aspect, you'll find that there are many people, they want to start a business. They need loans. And on one side, we give sadaqah and charity. Most reward than giving sadaqah and charity is to empower someone. Give people loan and let them start off the business transaction to keep them away from haram and keep them away from interest-bearing transactions. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to practice on all this. And if anybody had any questions, they are more than welcome to question me, talk to me in private. Inshallah, we'll endeavor to answer all your questions. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.